Batter at the plate. The first pitch drops in. Beautiful pitch for a strike. And Ball has struggled a little bit today. He struck out three times. Drew one walk and has a sac fly RBI. 0-1 count. He swings and misses at a pitch. He was above that one on an off speed, and Torres changing it up on him. 0-2 count. This is where Torres likes to work with. So Torres now getting set. He looks back to second. Brings up that front foot, fires, and it's a little low for ball number one. 1-2 count, and the Woodchucks on the edge for potentially their second loss of the season. They're currently sitting at 500, 1-1, coming off of a great season last year, one of the most dominant teams in the Northwoods. As here's a swing and a miss, and ball goes down on strikes. His fourth strikeout of the game and a key strikeout for Tony Torres. That's his second strikeout of the game, and it's two away in the top of the ninth. Woodchucks down to their last out. A four-run lead for the Rafters. Can Torres finish it here against Jerschley? The right-handed hitting second baseman at the plate. The first pitch is outside for ball number one. Jerschley 0-for-3 from the plate today, but he's walked twice. Also scored a run. Torres taking his time here. 1-0 count with two away. Runners on first and second. This pitch outside for ball number two. The Rafters trying to get some positive momentum before they head on the bus tomorrow back to Wausau. Torres trying to finish it off. He looks home. Now nods his head. He's good to go. 5 seconds on the pitch clock. He fires, and it's a pitch that drops right on in there for strike number one. 2-1 count. Torres looking back home, and Jerschley is resetting himself, making sure that he's ready for the pitch. Torres looking back to second. Now fires. Swing and a miss. Woodchucks down to their last strike. And could this be the last pitch? Torres looks home. He's set on the mound. Trying to keep it where it's at. The crowd getting into it. Here's the 2-2. It is outside for ball three. So we rolled to a full count. Rafters faithful still waiting for that first win, and it could be on the way. And they are getting loud here at Winter Field. Torres, he said he fires, and it's fouled back out of play. We will redo the 3-2. Jerschley holding off victory for the Rafters at least one pitch longer. And it's been a well-fought game from both teams, no matter what the final score is. But Rafters fans really hope that this can be their first win of the season. Torres stepping off of the rubber here after a little bit of time. And now getting set back up to go. He gets ready to fire on the mound. Brings the ball into his glove. Rafters fans pounding the seats. This one's ripped into left field. That gets down for a hit. One run will score. It's picked up in left field by Gallegos. He throws back in, and the runner from first will stay there. So on the corners with two away, a nice piece of hitting from Jerschley, and he really quiets this crowd with his RBI single there. And that's a big one for the Woodchucks. The tying run stepping up to the plate, and it's Braden Mazzucano. Mazzucano, the two-way player, trying to make things happen early on. Josh McClintock was able to come around from second to score on that, and that's a big one. Two away. First pitch to Mazzucano is called for strike number one. Mazzucano on base three times today, but he's 0 for 2. All three times were via the walk. Came around to score twice on those, and that pitch is in there for strike number two. So now up to their last strike once more. It's an 0-2 count with two away. Runners on the corners. Can Torres finish it off? Here's the pitch, and it's fouled back just a piece of it to stay alive. On deck, Jake Weatherspoon, hoping that he'll get to see the plate at least one more time tonight. As Torres has been working with this one strike to get, seemingly for a while, and this pitch over the middle, but a little too low, and it's ball number one. So back to a 1-2 count here. Can he finish him off? Torres fires. It's inside for ball number two. And holding the Rafters fans to the edge of their seat till the very last second. This one's a three-run game. It's 13-10 in the top of the ninth. The Rafters have the lead. Two away, 3-2 count. 2-2 count. As this one is popped foul and out of play. So a 2-2 count as we will work with pitch number 7 of the plate appearance coming up here. Tony Torres getting a lot of work here. He's up to 48 pitches tonight after pitching just two games ago. You really hope that he doesn't get to pitch number 50, is that he wouldn't be eligible to go again for a while. As that one is high above, a wild pitch. Zacher can't find it, and it hit him, so never mind. That's why he couldn't find it. It hit the batter. Mazzucano is going to walk on over to first base. So they are loaded now, and the go-ahead runner is represented at the plate. So Tony Torres now getting back to work on the mound. This is the 33rd pitch of the inning for the right-hander. Here it comes out of his hand, and that one is inside. It nearly hits Weatherspoon, but he dodges it, and it's ball number one. 13-10, the Rafters lead. Bases are loaded with two away. This pitch, a little far inside. It's a 2-0 count. Nobody over in the Rafters bullpen. Nobody even over in the area in front of it either. So it's Torres the rest of the way. 2-0 count. This pitch is a bit inside, and 3-0. This is dangerous territory. It seemed like the Rafters had this one locked down. But a couple of clutch plays and the hit by pitch. Big for the Woodchucks as that one drops in there on the 3-0 to bring it back 3-1. Weatherspoon 1-for-4 on the game. He also drew a walk his last time up, which was an RBI. And this time he adds another RBI on a hit by pitch. It's the second hit by pitch in a row, and there is another run that comes across. It's 13-11. So watch out here. The Woodchucks trying to master a six-run comeback. They had it down to a one-run game in the eighth. The Rafters added three in the bottom of the frame, but all of a sudden, they're back in this one. A two-run game. The go-ahead runner sits on first base. And this would be insurance if Smith Johnson would be able to come around to score. First pitch is in there for a strike. Brings it to an 0-1 count for Smith Johnson. And the 0-1 is fouled back into the netting and brings it to an 0-2. And with two outs, you still can't quite get a sacrifice here. But the Woodchucks really just need one hit, and it would tie it up. So a quick mound visit here as J.J. Garcia comes in from shortstop, but so does Ashton Zacher. So mostly for Zacher and Torres, but Garcia also coming in to have a chat. Down to their last strike once more, the Woodchucks. Can they stay alive, or can the Rafters finish it out at home? 0-2 count with two away. The bases are loaded. Rafters up two. Torres standing on the mound. Here he goes, the leg kick. This one is popped foul and out of play, so we will redo the 0-2. Smith Johnson is 1-for-3 on the game. He has an RBI, a pair of stolen bases, a single, a hit by pitch, sacrifice fly. Long stat line. Here's the 0-2. It's fouled back in into the press box and nearly caught by our scorer over there, Kenny, but it's grabbed up in there, and it's the first one of the season that's hit into our press box here. I thought for a second that was headed for me, but instead it was headed off to the right near our AC unit. 0-2 count with two away. Torres trying to finish it out. Two-run lead for the Rafters. They just need one out. The tying runner on second, go-ahead runner on first. Torres taking his time. Three on the pitch clock, but he steps off the rubber. Now he steps back on. He's got that right foot slightly behind the left foot, right foot on the rubber. He's angled mostly towards home, but a little bit towards that third baseline. Now he brings that leg up. He fires and ahead on the swing, but able to make contact there. So we redo 0-2 once more. It's the 42nd pitch of the inning right there. This is pitch number 43 coming up. Tony Torres up to dang near 60 pitches in the game. This will be pitch number 60 right here. You don't see that out of a closer much. 0-2 is popped foul and out of play, so we will keep going here. And he's thrown six strikes here. But Smith Johnson just keeps fouling them off. I mean, staying alive out here, and oftentimes that does work in the batter's favor. As the pitcher just says, man, why won't you go down? But here we go. 13-11, bases loaded with two outs. 0-2 count, righty-righty matchup. Torres looking home. He shakes off his catcher. Now he's got his pitch, brings up the leg and fires, and it's in the dirt for ball number one. Well, it's the first ball that he's thrown this plate appearance, which is rather impressive considering that's the seventh pitch of the plate appearance. So a two-run game. Torres still taking his time on the mound. Now he's ready. Here's the 1-2. This one is popped up. This could do it. Into shallow center field. Clayton's calling off. He makes the catch, and the Rafters get their first win of the season. After a very valiant effort from the Woodchucks, it is the Rafters who end up on top. And they move to 1-2 on the season, and they get in the win column. The final score, 13-11, and they take it after a long ninth inning where Tony Torres goes 62 pitches in total after coming in the eighth and closes it out for the Rafters. What a game and what a night. We'll recap that coming back when we are next on the air after a quick break. This is WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Let's get back to the rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
And the postgame show coming your way for Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, and man, what a game. What a game indeed it was. The Rafters end up on top 13-11, the final score there, and the Woodchucks find themselves down 6 earlier in the game. It was 10-4, and they just start slowly coming back into this one, and they made it a game. It was a 1-run game in the 8th. Rafters added 3 in the bottom of the frame, and then a 2-run frame in the top of the 9th by the Woodchucks, but they leave the bases loaded. Had a chance to tie it or even take the lead there, but couldn't quite do it. And so the Rafters end up in the win column for the first time this season. They move to 1-2, whereas the Wausau Woodchucks also move to 1-2. However, they are dropping in the standings in that regard. So once we've got all of that talked about, let's go ahead and kind of break down how it happened in case you missed part of the game. Running back through it, there were a lot of runs scored here, but in the top of the first inning, it seemed like the Woodchucks were really going to roll up and come up big. They had 3 runs in the top of the first. It was a walk, a single, a hit by pitch, and a single to start off the game. And so against starting pitcher Drew Thompson, really felt like the Woodchucks were getting some momentum going. But then Thompson, a key strikeout swinging, and then a caught stealing over at second base before another strikeout of Keegan Jerschley. That was back-to-back strikeouts that ended the frame, but it wasn't before those 3 runs did come across. In the second inning, though, it was a shutout frame for Thompson and a very good frame for him. But before we got to there, it was an offensive explosion from the Rafters in the bottom of the first inning. First 2 batters, they both go down on a 4-3 ground out, and then Zacher singles. Clayton hits a double. Hiroto Kobayashi walks to load the bases. Noah Ruiz knocks an RBI single. And then Luke Skinner with a 3-RBI home run, a 3-run shot over the right field wall, just pieced every bit of that baseball to make it a 5-run first inning. In the top of the second, as I mentioned, it was a shutout frame from Thompson. Bottom of the second, though, the Rafters keep the offense flowing. Hit by pitch of J.J. Garcia, followed up by a 2-run shot from Jack Guerrero, made it 7-3 Wisconsin Rapids. And then in the third inning, 1 run did come across for the Woodchucks. It was thanks to an RBI sack fly by Nathan Ball, sent home Charlie Longmire, but and then that was it. So Drew Thompson goes through those 3 innings pretty strong, allowing the 4 runs, but really all that came off of those first few batters. Then bottom of the third comes around. Rafters keep adding to the scoreboard, a hit by pitch and a walk, and then it was an error from the pitcher trying to pick off the runner at first, Pat Costin, but it went wild into right field and allowed 2 runs to come around to score. The guy from first, Pat Costin, came all the way around on that, made it 9-4 Rafters. From that point on, top of the fourth came around. No runs scored for the Woodchucks as Jaffet Martinez came into the game. In the bottom of the fourth, the Rafters added one more run thanks to an RBI ground out from Noah Ruiz that sent home Clayton. In the top of the fifth inning, two runs were added by the Woodchucks thanks to an RBI double from Jake Weatherspoon. And along with that, it was another run that came home to score on Christian Smith Johnson's single. So made it a closer game. It was 9-6 at that point. Sorry, 10-6 at that point. And the 10-6 game started to come a little bit closer and closer together as after a couple of shutout frames from both teams in the top of the eighth inning, three runs were put up by the Woodchucks. It was a big frame for them, although they didn't have any hits. It was four base on balls, and they scored on wild pitches. And, of course, bases loaded walk and a sacrifice fly as well. And that's how they scored their three in the eighth. It made it a 10-9 ball game. Once again, the Rafters just kept being shut out. In the bottom of the eighth, though, they finally were able to get back on the scoreboard. They added three runs in the bottom of the eighth, thanks to a huge home run from Noah Ruiz over that left field wall and sent home Zacher and Clayton as well and made it a 13-9 ball game before in the ninth inning. Things got scary once again. The Woodchucks, a walk. Then two batters were retired, and with two away, a single from Keegan Jerschle didn't load the bases. It put a runner on the corners with two away, scored one run, made it 13-10. Then a hit-by-pitch of Braden Mazzucano. That loaded the bases. Jake Weatherspoon was hit by a pitch with those bases loaded as well. So back-to-back hit-by-pitches. Tony Torres still pitching in the game. He ended up going 62 pitches in the game, and a lot of that came on the final batter of the game, Christian Smith Johnson, who, with the bases still loaded, it was a 13-11 ball game. He had an 0-2 count for four pitches. He had five pitches that would have been considered strike number two. It was six straight strikes to start off the plate appearance, then a ball, and then finally the pop out that ended it into center field. Clayton coming down with the catch, and that did it for the game. So the final score, 13-11. The Rafters end up winning it. So looking back at the stats, there's a lot here to talk about, but I'm going to kind of just zoom on over it. I think the most notable thing, Royce Clayton Jr., 4-for-5 in the game. He was absolutely dominant, scored three runs, had two doubles in the game, also had a stolen base, maybe the biggest offensive player of the game, if not for Noah Ruiz, who went 2-for-5 from the plate with five RBIs in the game, thanks to a three-run shot that he had. Ruiz also added two runs in the game. Other notable performances, Ashton Zacher, 2-for-4 from the plate with a walk. Jack Guerrero, 2-for-5 with a home run as part of those hits. And Luke Skinner also added that three-run shot early on. He was hit by a pitch as well, so 1-for-4 with the hit by pitch and had three RBIs in the game. That's a look at some of the meaningful batting statistics. On the pitching side, though, Drew Thompson, three innings pitched, four runs allowed. Jaffet Delgado Martinez, two innings pitched, two runs allowed on four hits and one walk. He struck out three. Cannon Restine, though, coming in relief, he did pretty well, although he struggled a little bit with the walks. Two base on balls. He also had two hit by pitches, but didn't allow a run, didn't allow a hit in his two innings of work. Espen Simpson, though, struggled a little bit when he came into the game. He only recorded one out, walked three batters, and allowed three runs on his record after Tony Torres came in for him. Torres, in 1 2/3 inning, he threw 62 pitches and ended the game with one hit allowed on three walks. Two runs, both were earned, and had two strikeouts. That's a look back at the statistics, and that's about all for our postgame show, as the Rafters will take on the Woodchucks once again tomorrow as they travel to Athletic Field for the rematch, trying to sweep this home and home. It'll be Bruno Sergel on the mound for the Rafters, the 6'9" man who grabbed one of the foul balls earlier, sitting in front of the Rafters bullpen, and going up against Wausau's Carter White. Carter White expected to be the starter for Wausau and the Woodchucks. That game is going to have its first pitch at 6.05 p.m., so about a half hour earlier than first pitch here. So be ready for that. Our pregame show is going to kick off on WFHR at 5.50 p.m., and as always, we'll have a pregame guest joining us. And a big thank you to Eric Robles, our assistant coach with the Rafters, for talking as part of the pregame show earlier today. Had a great talk with him and have loved working with him and the rest of the Rafters front office and players and coaches as well. It was an incredible game today and has been an incredible experience so far. So a big thank you to them and a big thank you to you, our viewers and listeners, for tuning in every single game. Having the Rafters faithful out there supporting us is always such a huge thing for the feel of this club and for how all of the guys always perform out there. So big thank you for all of your support. But that is going to do it for us today here from WFHR and on the post-game show. So one more time, the final score, 13-11. The Rafters win. They get in the win column for the first time this season. Hoping to make it two in a row tomorrow night. But until then, thanks for tuning in and have a phenomenal rest of your night.
Terrific. At Veterans Affairs, this from the Washington Post, plans for sweeping cuts tanks morale. They've already made cuts at the VA. Now they want to make more. They are talking about getting rid of 83,000 VA employees.
And those first rounds of cuts that came through the VA affected Wisconsin directly. And
absolutely,
some of those people who were fired, wait for it, were vets.
Yes.
So
yes,
this has a ripple effect across this state. And this sort of cut, I mean, this isn't a cut. Let's be fair. This is slash and burn. This is going to have an even deeper effect on this state and the nation as a, on a whole. Benefits access, jobs for people who work there, and there is no reasoning behind it. And don't give me waste, fraud, and abuse, because waste is one thing, but where's that fraud and abuse?
Well, again, if there's fraud, which is a crime,
yeah,
that's the whole Doge thing was about finding waste, fraud, and abuse,
who?
Elon.
Who?
You remember Elon.
Who?
Co-president, Elon Musk.
Oh, the car guy.
Yeah, the car guy. Elon, it was all about finding fraud, and the Doge claimed they found all this fraud. Where are the court cases of all these people accused of fraud? Or are we just not, we're just going to let them go?
We're going to let him go.
We're just
going
to let all the fraud cases go. We don't care about that.
Well, it's not of anyone's interest right now in the news, in the news cycle, so they couldn't care less about it.
855-752-4842 if you would like to join the conversation. Jean from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Jean. Thanks so much for joining us. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. And outstanding show. Thank you for bringing this up. People need to hear this over and over again because we got ads on our television stations here by, I think, Securing America's Greatness Incorporated. And it's like, give me a break. Trump don't love America. He does not love Americans. He is out to kick everybody's butt because he doesn't give a gall dang. All he cares about is himself, and the sooner people wake up to it, the better chance we have to save our country and our state. And those Republicans from Wisconsin, they're all responsible for the garbage that we had with Scotty Walker. Look back at their names, and they're doing the same thing in the federal government, and we need to fight back in our state and in our federal situation here. So thank you so much, guys. Keep up the great work. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank
Bye.
You. Thank you, Jean. Thank you so much for checking in. Really appreciate it. You. Always appreciate the positive vibes. And I know Jean calls her representatives all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We should all be a little bit more like that.
Yep.
MyVote.wi.gov. MyVote.wi.gov. All you have to do is put in your address and all of your elected representatives' contact information will come up for you to utilize.
Yep.
And because shockingly, they work for us.
That's amazing.
I know. It's shocking. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the VAST, statewide, countrywide, take us global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
Is the deepest, and when it comes to being lucky, he's cursed, and when it comes to loving me, he's worse. Oh, the first cut is- Locally grown radio, WFHR. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A three-judge panel at the U.S. Court of International Trade has blocked the Trump administration from imposing its sweeping tariffs on imports. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
Unless President Trump and his administration can get this decision overturned, he, in fact, will have to start from ground zero.
Todd and Julie Chrisley of the former reality TV series Chrisley Knows Best have been released from prison. They had been convicted of bank fraud and tax evasion and were pardoned by President Trump. Their lawyer, Alex Little.
The core and one of the arguments we've made to the White House for a long time is they were targeted for prosecution because they were celebrities and they had a particular sort of look to them.
Israel's prime minister says its military has killed Hamas's leader, CBS News contributor Robert Berger.
Mohamed Sinwar was the de facto leader of Hamas in Gaza after his brother Yahya Sinwar was assassinated in an Israeli airstrike last year.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Brewers complete the sweep. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, another dramatic win for the crew. Last night, it was Christian Yelich and a walk-off grand slam home run in extra innings. Today, Caleb Durbin with a sac fly to center field that drove in Sal Frelick in the bottom of the 10th. The final, the Brewers beating the Red Sox 6-5 at AmFam Field, completing a three-game sweep of Boston. The team has tomorrow off before heading to Philadelphia for a weekend series against a tough team, the Phillies. Here in Green Bay, Packers OTAs continue on the offensive line with Elgton Jenkins holding out for a new deal. Right guard Sean Ryan moved over to center.
I think we're confident in him. He's been training like this for a couple years now. So one of the benefits I would say that we do in regards to how we practice by splitting the fields up, you're going to get more reps in less amount of time. I mean, there's a lot of tape to watch.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. In Green Bay with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. History is being made at Max. The streamer just renewed the show Hacks for a fifth season. The show starring Gene Smart is a critic's darling, having won a total of 8 Emmy Awards. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the renewal for season 5 makes it the longest live-action running show in Max history, which is really impressive given that the streamer has only been around for 2 years as Max. Not sure how that adds up. Producers of the show announced the fifth season Tuesday night, just 2 days before the finale for season 4. To say actors need thick skin in the entertainment racket would be an understatement. Kathy Bates recently told Vanity Fair she really wanted the role of Frankie in the 1991 film Frankie and Johnny because she had originated the role on Broadway. Her dreams, however, were crushed when producer Gary Marshall told Bates that the idea of her kissing a man on screen was not what people wanted to see. Why are people the way they are? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any showers ending. The clouds stick around overnight, though, as morning lows drop to the lower 50s. Our winds light out of the northwest. On Thursday, mostly cloudy skies. A few showers will develop in the afternoon. A light breeze and highs in the lower 70s. It's 53 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, Sean O'Malley has our weekly look at your money and the markets, and we'll talk about the real story on finding and fighting fraud.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, and there is now a new way for you to get in touch with our shows.
Brand new handy dandy way.
I know.
It would, that necessitates one to download the free Civic Media app. It's free. It's absolutely free.
Completely free.
Go to your app store and download the Civic Media app. You can do all sorts of things in the Civic Media app. First of all, you can customize it to the station you want to listen to. You can also customize the news you're going to get, whether you, if you like weather more, if you like sports, whatever, you can make it work for you. It will also know your location and send you what you want to hear from your community. And what's great is how you can contact us, Jane. There's three ways now.
It's amazing.
First way, you can call us through the app.
There's a button that just says call.
Yes, and we'll get that call. We'll put you through as long as you are in context and FCC compliant. But also, you can text us through that app as well. And that's a great way to participate in our contest, our statewide text-to-win contest that we're going to be doing this Friday.
There's another one coming up.
Free ticket Friday this week. And then a little birdie has told me, Jane, that there is another contest happening very soon for fabulous prizes.
Incredible and fabulous prizes.
We'll tell you more about that in the coming days. But you can also now not just text us, not just call us, you can leave us a voice note. So here's how it works. Simply press the voice note button in the middle. You have to go to your station of choice. You press the button in the middle. It says voice text. And you record your voice, record a message.
Record your message.
Like you've done for other people on your phone before. And then you shoot it our way. And then we, of course, listen to it. And once again, as long as it's in context and FCC compliant, we can play it on the show.
It's pretty cool.
Make sure you identify yourself. You just have to tell us your first name. Tell us where you're from and tell us what station you might be listening to. So we'd love to hear from you. Download the free Civic Media app. It's absolutely free.
Do it today. Don't wait. Before we went to the news, we were talking about Ron Johnson, among other things. Ron Johnson not very excited about the budget bill that was passed through the House. He would like to see even more cuts made. And Ron Johnson is not alone among senators. This just broke. Fox Business host Maria Bartiromo lost her patience with Senator Rick Scott of Florida after he also went on and on about we need to have more cuts. We need to have fiscal sanity. So she said, well, be specific. What are you talking about cutting? Is it raising the debt limit? Is it more Medicaid cuts? Is it getting rid of green energy credits in the Inflation Reduction Act that was passed under Joe Biden? Rick Scott says, even when we do those, we don't get to a balanced budget. The only way we're going to do this is to get go through every line in the budget. So she asked him, can you identify specifics? Have you done it? Have you gone through this big budget bill line by line by line? Mm-hmm. Rick says, not exactly, but I can tell you where I would start.
Where, Jane?
Rick Scott, Senator of Florida, says he would get rid of the Green New Deal, followed by Medicaid cuts. Quote, we shouldn't be spending more money on able-bodied adults for health care than we are on our poor kids, unquote. Rick Scott, the senator from Florida, who, by the way, should know all about Medicaid and Medicare fraud.
Why is that, Jane?
He should. I believe he has personal experience when he was running a company in Florida that was accused of ripping off people to the tune of millions and millions and millions of dollars when Rick Scott was the head of that company. And then when he was testifying on that matter, I think he took the fifth like over 100 times.
Yeah, let's see here. He was the CEO of Columbia HCA, which became HCA Healthcare. He was pressured to resign in 97 after company was found to have defrauded. Jane, there's that word, fraud.
There's that fraud word.
Maybe they're investigating because they know it best. He defrauded Medicare, Medicaid, and other federal programs, and the company faced not one, not two, but 14 felony convictions and paid $1.7 billion in fines. That was the largest healthcare fraud settlement at the time.
That Rick Scott was in charge
Rick Scott was the CEO of Columbia HCA. He was in charge when they bilked America out of so much money.
And this has always been my contention as far as I don't doubt that there is fraud and abuse within Medicaid and Medicare.
Yeah.
But it's those people.
Yeah.
It's not the run-of-the-mill person who is defrauding the system. Yeah. It's these companies.
Well, and also, even if someone is like, you know, someone got an extra check they shouldn't have gotten or whatever, it's like those are cases are usually found out. And if they aren't, it's not to the tune of Columbia HCA. And I'm also very tired of this quote, this phrase they say, able-bodied Americans getting Medicaid. Able-bodied has nothing to do with it. It has to do with how much money you're making. If you don't like Medicaid, why don't you tell big businesses like Walmart and Amazon to pay their people more so they can get good health insurance, or you provide good health insurance? Because those companies have instructed their employees in the past to go on state-funded Medicaid programs like Badger Care here in the state. So you want to cut it. It's not about just because you have Medicaid does not mean that you have a disability or you're claiming to have one. You could be a perfectly, quote, able-bodied person working 40, maybe more hours a week, but unfortunately your job doesn't pay enough or your boss doesn't offer good or any health care. So you have no choice. So this scenario he keeps building, and the others have done it too, where it's able-bodied people, which automatically says able-bodied people using Medicaid makes people think of fraud inherently because they think we're bilking the system.
You're cheating it.
It's just a person who needs the program,
who can't get health care in any other
way.
Exactly. And again, I maintain that it is companies like the one that Rick Scott, Senator Rick Scott, used to head up. Those are the ones who are ripping off the system. Yeah. And speaking of Medicaid, a new proposal now is they want to do checks on Medicaid recipients every 6 months. They already have to do a review once a year.
Yeah.
To make sure that they are getting the benefits they deserve and that they deserve these benefits. Now they want to have a check on them every 6 months.
Cool deal, bro. Let's do that. Now, where are you going to find those people? Because you're going to have more people. Then you're going to have more people on the Medicaid side who are going to be able to do those checks. Because I'm sure, I'm just going to put it out there, I'm sure the people who are doing it currently probably stretch thin. And because it's not like it's some lush billion-dollar company bilking America, but that's where it's Scott's old company. It's, you want to do this? Fine. Then you have to provide the people to do it, or else it's going to be, well, I have to do it every 6 months, but I can't because there's only one of me and I am responsible for however
500
many
clients.
Exactly.
Well, and who's to say that if they don't get to all of those clients, they don't just deny them?
Yeah. Yeah. And PJ brings up a great point. I mentioned Walmart before. They're almost double dipping in the sense. Walmart is telling their employees to get on Medicare because they don't want to give them adequate health insurance or enough to get them covered. And two, they benefit in millions and millions in tax breaks. So really, who's the bigger welfare recipient?
Cheat. Who's the bigger cheat?
Yeah, who's the bigger welfare cheat? Is it dude down the street, or is it a family in Bentonville, Arkansas, who makes billions of dollars a year?
That fine family.
Yeah.
Waltons. 855-752-4842 if you would like to join the conversation. Lori from Shawano is on the line. Good morning, Lori. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Well, I just wanted to, because you had already brought up that part about the billionaire being the bilkers. You know, if they're going to make people who are on Medicare, and they're going to be the ones who decide this, who are, you know, able-bodied to get out and work, it's the millionaires and billionaires that are getting these tax breaks that they're taking this money from the poor to give to the rich. Why don't they make the people who are wealthy get out there and get another job at Walmart, McDonald's? Let them fund their next yacht because they're able-bodied. And they need tax breaks. So if they need a tax break, get out there and work.
I love that idea, Lori. Get a side gig. Get a side hustle, Senator Scott. Get a side hustle, Rojo. Come on, get creative.
Yeah.
You don't need another tax break. Come on.
Bootstraps.
There you go.
Get yourself some good old-fashioned bootstraps. And
Start pulling on them.
Could you imagine if either one of those two yo-yos did the same, like worked at an Amazon plant or worked at Walmart or worked in a fast food joint? They'd be advocating for $25 minimum wage immediately.
Instantaneously. Yeah. Of course they would. Ellen from Milwaukee is joining us on the line. Good morning, Ellen. Thanks so much for calling in. What do you want to say about this?
Hi. I have 2 points. One is myself and my daughter are on Medicaid, and literally my psychological life hangs in the balance because and pays for my meds. My daughter has 2 autoimmune situations. She would be extremely ill without it. The other point is that Medicaid is not easy to apply for it.
Right.
And I just want to make one comment. There is never a situation of getting a check accidentally. We don't get checks. The system pays, you know, the people. But it is very difficult. It is not an easy situation, and it's going to affect both our lives.
Ellen, I want to ask you one question, too, because, again, we had a guest on a few months ago who is on Medicaid, and he talked about how difficult it is, as you said, even to apply for it and to get approved for it is a long process, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it sort of got these tricky things built in it that you feel like, oh my God, you know, I'm sorry, I can't explain.
There's a lot of confusion in even filling out this paperwork, right?
Yeah.
I appreciate it, Ellen. Thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate
it. This is something that I thought, and this is like 20 plus years ago. I was in a job where I needed health insurance, and I tried to apply for Badger Care, and I had a job. It was a part-time job, but it's not some willy-nilly program you walk up and be like, hey, I need it. And they're like, stamp, here you go.
Here you go.
I had to do their formulas. I had to talk to somebody on the phone. And at the end of the interview, I got denied because I made $19 more a month than they would allow. So that's fine. That's the ceiling. I accept that. But $19 is pretty specific for a program they think is just buck wild with inaccuracies and fraud. They're doing their jobs. And I think that's one thing we don't talk about enough, is that through the DOGE and all this junk, government works more efficiently than we actually know. We assume because it's government,
it's a mess.
It's a mess. But what we're seeing through mass firings and then rehirings and layoffs and budget cuts is that not only do these, even the smallest, tiniest department, have an effect on various people. Take, for example, HHS and the lead program here in Milwaukee. You cut that, they don't have any help, which means they're doing their job. And let's, I don't want to say leave them alone, but let's trust them to do their job then. That's how I personally how I feel about it.
I don't think that's a bad thing. And I think, too, you make a very good point about we don't need all these people. Let's fire them. Oops, we really needed them. Let's bring them all back.
Oh, the nuclear reactor guys? Get them back in here.
Ooh, that was a mistake. We have a break coming up. When we return, all the best pardons. If you got a spare million lying around.
They're back, baby!
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, I'm Phil Briggs, Navy veteran and host of CBS Eye on Veterans weekly radio show and podcast. And I often think of my old boss in the Navy, Commander Reed, especially when I'm trying to motivate my kids. Now I know how he must have felt trying to motivate me. This Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate those who go above and beyond for us every day. Learn more at navyfederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA.
The Trump administration has announced tariffs on trade with other countries. While there has been a lot of uncertainty as to how these policies will evolve, it's generally agreed that tariffs can be inflationary, and they have also sparked volatility in the financial markets. How should you respond to tariffs as an investor? Try to build and maintain a diversified portfolio. Tariffs will likely hit some industries harder than others, so consider spreading your dollars among an array of stocks, bonds, and other securities. Diversification cannot guarantee a profit or protect against a loss, but at any given time, some asset classes may be up or not hit as hard as others. Finally, follow a long-term strategy based on your risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. You'll be better equipped to cope with market gyrations that can result from tariffs or from any other event.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoke, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I've seen all good people turn their heads each day, so satisfied I'm on my way.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Kelly Teeny on the board. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you would like to help us spread the news about Civic Media's existence. We're a new company.
We are.
We're only about three years old.
We're like a bubba.
My 3-year anniversary is coming up next month.
You were here from like the
beginning. Pretty early. Not from the beginning, but pretty early. But yes, we are still really a very new broadcast company. Mm-hmm. So if you would like to help us spread the word that we are here, mm-hmm. you can go to our merch store.
What?
Go to civicmedia.us, click on shop at the top. You can buy a Civic Media t-shirt. You can get a hat. Yep. And there are rumors, Greg Bach.
I hear things from some people. Some people are saying
there may soon be Matt Nair on Air merchandise.
So it'll be the best part of the store.
Sure.
Okay.
Not going to argue with you on that.
Just trying to inflate your ego just a skosh there, my
friend.
But
check it out, civicmedia.us. Click on shop and pick up some Civic Media merch and help us spread the word that we are here. We wanted to talk just a little bit about all the best pardons.
Wait, no, Jane. No, did you look at the wrong schedule?
No.
We talked about... Okay, sorry, Cal. We talked about that yesterday.
We did talk about it yesterday, but there's more.
There's more?
Yesterday, we told you about the Virginia sheriff who is essentially taking money from rich people and then deputizing them.
Yes.
Without any, there is no process for this. It's just like, you give me money, I'll give you a badge. He pardoned him.
Yep.
On federal bribery charges. That's all good, but the president isn't done.
No.
More and more, leave no MAGA behind, Greg.
That sounds like something someone actually said out loud.
Ed Martin is now the U.S. attorney for pardons, who said this morning on social media, no MAGA left behind. So apparently you can do just about anything as long as you're a Trump supporter, and you will not be held accountable for it. Donald Trump, yesterday, pardoned a Florida businessman convicted of tax evasion after his mother attended a $1 million per plate fundraising dinner at Mar-a-Lago. Isn't that nice? Paul Walczak's mom, Elizabeth, attended a $1 million per plate fundraising dinner for Donald Trump's super PAC. 3 weeks after that, Donald Trump pardoned Walczak, who had been sentenced to 18 months in prison and a $4 million restitution payment. He had been cheating. He had all these employees that he was supposed to be paying unemployment and all the other things that employers are responsible for. Yeah. He didn't do that. Instead, he used that money. He bought a yacht. He bought a $2 million yacht.
Well, that makes sense, Jane, that he's pardoned then, because he has to go on the yacht. If he's in prison, who's going to be on the yacht?
The yacht will be empty. Walczak was sentenced to 18 months in prison. He was also ordered to pay back the money that he owed by defrauding essential taxes by not paying taxes.
Waste, fraud, abuse.
Pardon.
Pardon.
Also,
yeah, there's more.
There's more.
Wow.
Donald Trump has also pardoned reality TV stars Todd and Julie Chrisley, who were convicted of fraud and tax evasion. Now, don't forget, the first time that Donald Trump ran for president, this was brought up during one of the debates about how he didn't pay taxes.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump said, that makes me smart.
Oh, yes. Oh, God.
That makes me smart.
Oh, the good old days. My gosh, when you just said weird things.
So I just think there's kind of a, it's like an envy thing.
Well, it's a... I want to know again, I know we're having some fun with this, but this is, I want to know from his supporters who might be listening to us, why is this okay?
Because they will say, but Joe Biden pardoned his family. That's why it's okay.
And I'll make an argument to say, maybe it's not okay that he pardoned his family, but also if you look deeper into why Joe Biden pardoned his family, it was to protect them versus two reality stars who stole from the federal government, stole from us.
Todd and Julie Chrisley, known for their TV show Chrisley Knows Best, found guilty in 2022 for defrauding Atlanta area banks to get more than $36 million in personal loans. They also conspired to defraud the Internal Revenue Service. Todd sentenced to 12 years in prison. Julie, 7 years. They just got pardoned. Quote from White House spokesman Harrison Fields, the president is always pleased to give well-deserving Americans a second chance, especially those who have been unfairly targeted and overly prosecuted by an unjust justice system.
It's a weird way of saying due process. It's a very weird say of due process that they committed crimes. They were prosecuted for crimes. They
found
were found guilty.
Guilty
of those crimes. And now they're serving their sentence. This is not over prosecution. This is not weaponization. These are the same laws, by the way, you and I are held to. And guess what? You probably don't have $1 million. So you're not getting out of jail if you do something wrong.
But as Ed Martin said on social media this morning, Ed Martin, the U.S. pardon attorney, said in relation to the Chrisley case, no MAGA left behind.
Once again.
So you got a free pass, you guys. Good for you.
Defend this behavior.
News. is coming up next. When we return, we're to talk about child care and the child care crisis in Wisconsin. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Trump issues more pardons and says he will take a look at the pardons for defendants in the kidnapping plot that targeted Democratic Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The list includes former Connecticut Governor John Rowland, former New York Representative Michael Grimm, and TV reality stars Todd and Julie Chrisley. Alex Little is the Chrisley's attorney.
Neither of them expected this to happen.
The Chrisleys were convicted of bank fraud and tax evasion. Little tells CBS he believes the Chrisleys were selectively targeted.
I think this is a very well-justified pardon decision. You know, they weren't like huge donors. There was nothing like that. They just had a case where they were clearly targeted for who they were.
The Chrisley's daughter, Savannah, has been a vocal Trump supporter. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
The Chrisleys have been released from prison. A development for some international students at schools in the U.S. CBS's Matt Piper with that.
In a statement, Secretary of State.